enjoy this podcast and want to swear eternal allegiance with your money, please go to patreon.com/shadow. That is patreon.com/shadeaux. Now, please experience the content.
This is space. This is the final frontier. These are the cases before the court. Its mission: legislate strange new crimes, seek out new perpetrators and new defendants, to jurisprudently go where no law has gone before. This is The People versus Star Trek Voyager.
The People versus Star Trek Voyager is recorded in front of no one.
For the defense,
Captain Matthias Zapp Spurlock, on leave from the USS Restorative Justice.
Prosecution.
Karasuno High.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Judge.
The Honorable Midnightian Later.
May it please the court, case on the docket is Case 422, Unforgettable. Stardate 51813.4. Original air date 4/22/98.
Order in the court. As is well known to all here, these proceedings are being broadcast to Vince Gill. So I expect a civil tone and a consummate air of professionalism. No rancor, no ribaldry, and not even a sniff of the lemongrass. The question before the court is this: is Star Trek Voyager a misunderstood gem, or just plain, tawdry garbage? Now your opening arguments, keep them brief.
Your Honor, I will indeed be brief. Unforgettable. Oof. Esteemed members of the jury, does anyone have some sort of pheromone they can spray on me to make me forget this boring pile of nothing? Seriously, Voyager is so completely addicted to the reset button at the end of each episode that they actually wrote one into the story this time. It's bland, it's predictable, it's stupid, sad, and unfortunately, so forgettable. And meow, meow, meow. Thank you.
Captain Spurlock, is the courtroom's environmental control interface malfunctioning, or is it just this episode that's making things so steamy? This is the Chakotay Princess Irulan pairing of my cross-property fanfic dreams. And though, like most of John Q Continuum's romantic encounters, it is awkward, halting, and destined to be forgotten, it still forms the foundation of a peculiar little gem of an episode.
Sorry, I was drinking a libation. Now, the evidence will be presented in the format agreed upon by the Fairfax Addendum to the Kittimer Accords. Audio recordings of three white guys interrupting each other. Play the holocron.
Man, the Vince Gill thing got me, and then I thought I was fine, and then it circled back around and got me again.
Yeah.
He's got the free time. He's a big fan of our podcast.
Does.
Just no shade.
More last chance before I'm going to do the whole episode in my Vince Gill voice.
So, before we begin this discussion, right as I finished watching this episode, I texted you guys and was like, thesis, Chakotay is the Byronic hero of Voyager. And I would like to enter into evidence this quick, just for if people don't know what a Byronic hero is.
I thought it said bionic when I first.
He's a bionic hero as well.
Yeah.
But a Byronic hero is a type of fictional character who is moody, brooding rebel, often one haunted by a dark secret from his past. The term describes the type of main character found in many fictional works by Lord Byron, who is said to have had this type of personality. That's from dictionary.com.
But don't they have a tender emotional core?
Once they're ravaged emotionally.
Yes, once you get things, past the bad boy exterior. The gruff.
They're just a font. A font of...
And passion.
Passion.
Well, that is certainly a viewpoint that you have.
Chakotay Stan has logged on. So this episode begins.
Blocked.
Blocked. Reported. Kim, Paris, and Chakotay are chatting at work.
Aggressively chatting.
Aggressively chatting. Yeah, they're over at the console, like, Grandma arguing Curry. About something. Like, Seven made a bunch of modifications. I mean, she didn't really ask permission, but it's increased efficiency 23%, which is a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And he's like, I'll have to realign the sensors with Seven's modifications. And Cody's like, okay, then do that.
Get to the point.
Why didn't
you
just say that to begin with? Yeah. And maybe you should just work with her.
The problem is her stuff is better than yours. Figure it out. Work closer with her from the start.
And eat a bag of dicks.
Also, I'm tired of this. I'm done. Harry Seven. Don't care. I don't care.
Oh, well, they're not done at all. This train, it's a choo-choo train. Come on.
Ride it.
And ride it. Paris gets off a C-plus crack about realign your sensors. And stuff.
Even he seems to realize that's not his best work. He's like, he kind of says it, and he goes, I'm
going
to go back to the helm.
Yeah,
it makes me wish that this show existed, was being made now, so there could be more potential relationships between men and women than romantic.
Right.
What if Harry and Seven became besties?
Yeah.
This is why, that very reason is why if you're a Janeway Chakotay shipper, that's totally cool. And they definitely created a foundation for you to build that on. But I'm kind of glad that the relationship is where it has been for, you know, most of the run of the show.
Yeah.
Because it's nice that they can have a friendship with that. Yeah, I mean, I know that there's some flirty overtones to it, but that for four seasons
there was a brief domestic partnership.
Brief domestic partnership that was shaped more by circumstance than by choice, right? Mm-hmm. So, but that for four seasons they've been able to just have a friendship without it having to be a full on will they, won't they?
Right. Yeah, I feel like they explored it, like the show explored it the same way the characters explored it, realized it fundamentally wasn't going to work,
right?
And then found a common ground and a stronger friendship because of it. But they keep running this up the flagpole, Seven and Harry, and I don't get it. Like, there's zero chemistry between the two of them.
Yeah.
And it's not like Garrett Wong is a very attractive man. I don't want to make this sound bad, but like, he's not like he's the smoldering single man on the cast that needs a partner. It just feels, but also most of the time it's played as a joke at Harry's expense.
Right. Right.
Which is very old in general, jokes at Harry's expense this episode and this whole show as a whole.
I think it's more the classic Harry Kim season four situation.
You were supposed to die in the quantum realm. Ain't your life, Harry.
Since you ain't dead, we're going to make you a joke.
We're going to make you wish you was dead. We're going to make you wish you was your quantum clone floating in space.
An ice cube in space.
But then the ship is attacked. Proton surges.
Ending that conversation, ship is attacked.
But they can't see anything. There's nothing out there. There's nothing on screens. They try to use the astrometric lab to scan for disturbance. And they say, okay, we think there's two cloaked ships engaged in battle, not with Voyager, just fighting each other, and we're kind of caught in the crossfire.
Right.
One of the ships explodes, and they get one life sign on the remaining ship. They're hailing, but there's audio only. Audio only.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Chakotay, I need your help.
Please.
And then it goes to credits, and I was like, is this the return of Seska? Could it be? Might it be?
I'm going to say that yes. This whole time, it's just Seska pretending to be.
No, I mean, by the end of the episode, it's clear it's not Seska.
That's my problem with that cold open. And I feel like maybe that was just a scene that they had to cut a 5-minute chunk off the front end to make a cold open out of. Because you don't get a visual on who's talking to. It's just sort of it's a woman's voice. Chakotay has a number of loose ends in his background. It could be Borg lady that he hooked up with.
It could be
Seska, like you said. I mean,
it could be whoever wrote him that letter in the message in a bottle.
Yeah.
Where they're like, so-and-so wrote you? Why?
So you go to the credits thinking, what? Was I supposed to recognize that voice? I'm sorry. Like, and
it's a very distinctive voice.
It's a mystery.
Especially for a science fiction fan.
Yeah.
Highlander 2,
the Quickening.
Yes, she was in Highlander too. I'd forgotten about that.
Also Candyman.
The Prophecy.
She's in The Prophecy?
Yeah.
That's right, she is. I was thinking of her from Dune, primarily.
Yeah.
I forgot she was.
I mean, she's
not
a... Princess Victoria Madsen. Yeah. It's Victoria, right? Victoria Madsen?
No, Virginia.
It's Virginia.
God, I can't get it right.
You called her Patricia off
Yeah, I was like, Patricia.
Earlier.
Patricia Madsen. She's had a really long career.
She was also in 4 episodes of Frasier.
2 weeks in a row now.
Boom.
And she was in Candyman also, right?
Yeah.
So we had, what's his name? Who was Candyman?
Oh, Tony Todd.
Tony Todd.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks ago. And now, so we've had Frasier back to back.
She actually connects a lot of the actors.
Well,
she
works a lot. She works all the time. She was in Elementary, the last two or three seasons. But yeah, so I'm like, oop, is this Seska? Turns out it's not Seska.
I still think she's actually Seska. No,
this was just a cruel mind game.
Just a cruel mind game.
Played.
And then she leaves. Sufficiently fucked with, yes.
Yes, enjoy until I return.
You're going to forget me until next time.
Well, there's no evidence that makes that impossible.
That's right.
I will say.
Who could say?
Who could say? Seska lives. # Okay, so after the credits... the woman's voice, still speaking, Chakotay, are you reading me? Please answer. And he's like, who are you?
Who are you?
New
what
phone,
do you want?
Who dis?
And they're like,
new
okay, her hull is destabilizing. I've lost her, trying again. We can't beam her out. There's something weird where her signal keeps phasing in and out of whatever. It's like, okay, we'll take an away team over there and try to get her. I'll take the murder team of Tuvok, Tom, and Chakotay.
Just in case we have to kill hundreds of people while we're over there.
Just in case there's a god that needs slaying while we're over there. They beam over to the ship, and then we get the iconic shot of the Sims beacons through the fog. There's no life signs, and like I'll look for the pilot. And then he finds her, and we just see her Wicked Witch boot sticking out from
the same observation.
And it is interesting to me because they played this as who is it? Who is it? You're going to be surprised when you see who it is.
Da-da-da.
And he pries up the bulkhead. She rolls out. And I did recognize the actress immediately.
As Patricia Madsen.
As Patricia Madsen is what I wrote. From my home dimension, her name is Patricia Madsen.
Patricia Victoria
Madsen.
It's a
Berenstain, Berestain, Berestoon situation.
It's definitely Berenstain.
The Mandela effect.
It's Berenstain.
Is it?
So was she a big enough? I mean,
what would people have thought in the 90s when she appeared?
Was she a big enough star or a recognizable enough face in 1998 to justify the reveal? We lift the rubble and there she is, our big guest star this week.
I mean, she was pretty popular. She did a lot of work in the 80s, so and early, I would say, they'd know who she was.
Is she a bigger or a smaller get than Andy Dick?
Bigger.
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 Yeah.
Definitely a much more respectable body of work.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's like, two to beam directly to sickbay. She says something about, like, I'm glad you're here, or some shit like that. And then in sickbay, we get a nice shot of her cool alien ears.
Those ears. And I verified this. I brought in an objective third party, which was my wife, who was doing something in another room. I paused it. I brought her in. The first close-up shot of the ear. Do they resemble anything else that caught your attention?
I stopped looking at them after the first scene. So
this could just be me seeing vaginas where there aren't vaginas.
But they're ear vaginas.
They have a very gynecological look to them that broke my attention span.
Okay, fair enough.
A couple of times.
It's funny when you say that. Every time I see ears, I just see vaginas.
Just any ear.
Any ear.
Any ear.
It's a very specific.
That's a larger issue.
I'm working on it. I'm seeing a therapist.
That's funny.
But I like how they refrain from doing any kind of facial prosthesis. They're like, no, we have a really pretty guest star. Like, don't put weird ridges or anything like that. You know, just ears. You know?
But also to the ear vagina issue. I recently watched the movie for the first time, the Cronenberg film Existenz.
I haven't seen it.
I don't think I've seen it.
Which if anyone out there has seen it, you'll know why I wasn't remotely distracted by her ears in this. I'll just leave it at that.
We'll tuck that
Existence.
Away for later.
I recommend you watch it. You will be forever changed. Okay.
Your relationship to ears will never be the same.
Your relationship to a lot of things. Definitely if you're a big gamer, play Existenz. Watch Existenz. Okay. So the doctor's looking confused because he'll scan her, and then her scans will disappear from the tricorder. So he can't really, like, make a diagnosis except for visually.
I think that's dumb.
They explain it.
Look, as long as they explain
it. Or is it just dumb on its face regardless of whether or not they explain
it? It's dumb on its face. It shouldn't work like that.
But it does.
Wait. Well, don't they explain? Don't they say that they have an innate ability?
But then they have technology.
Which they have then plussed up with technology.
But she's not using the technology at that moment.
It could be
nanotechnology.
It could be stuff that's like implanted in her body.
It could be double secret magic robots.
If that was the case, then they wouldn't have to implant a virus to delete all the information from the computers later.
That's not a scan. That's a computer. That's a hard record.
Which is what the scan would create.
Also, does that happen?
Yeah, at the end, in the last... Okay, so
yeah,
the end...
the guy that comes together.
The end is very terrible, but yeah. Like, he's like, okay, I guess we're going to let you go then. Okay, cool.
I think I was at about 60% by the time I got to the end of this episode.
Same. No, he's like, yeah, thanks for letting us go. I put a virus on your computer, on your ship. It's going to wipe all... Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, thanks.
You forget about us in a day. All right, bye. Yeah. No, it's... It'd be fine... If they had technology that did that, but she's injured and would want them to help her so she could turn it off, maybe
they wouldn't design it. How could she have turned it off? You know, the radios in North Korea can't be turned off. They can only be turned down to like 2 on a 10-point volume scale.
What?
So everybody in North Korea has a radio in their home that constantly plays government propaganda, and it cannot be turned off. It can only be turned down to where it's... quiet, but you can still hear it. Same thing here.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Interesting. All right.
What I'm saying is this is like North Korea.
So she's from North Korea planet.
Yes, essentially. This is a direct analog for North Korea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Now it all makes sense.
There's another dimension to this episode.
The rest of our discussion around that.
Okay, so they're talking to Chakotay, like, do you know how she knows you? He's like, I have no idea. And then she wakes up, and she says, Captain, please... I need asylum. And there's several weird down angle shots for this moment where they're shooting from her POV and everyone's looking down at her. It just looks weird.
There are it's
not an attractive angle for anyone.
There are a few odd directing choices in this episode. There's some odd camera angles and there's some odd blocking.
I think there was a new director for this one. I've sort of skimmed the Memory Alpha on it, and I didn't really read it closely, but there was something like a guy who wasn't normally part of their normal stable of directors came in on this one.
Yeah, Andrew Robinson.
But yeah, there's a lot of odd shots in this, which maybe is kind of what I do like about this episode is it is... It's just very different from other Voyager stuff. And I don't know that the differences are always good, but it is just a peculiar little offset from the rest of the season. The type of story they're trying to tell and how they tell it.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I think they could have done something interesting with it. I was pretty much bored the whole time.
Can you think of anything prior to this that dealt with aliens that... can't be that have a sort of a natural defense to prevent other things from remembering them? I ask because I'm trying to decide if Stephen Moffat ripped this off or the Silence in Doctor Who.
I think there's only one conclusion.
I think you're probably right.
And I'm not inclined to cut Stephen Moffat's slack on anything.
No slack from Moffat.
Yep, going to say ripped off Voyager.
Voyager did. That's probably why that's one of the only...
Really cool ideas
he's had.
Oh, God.
One of the few he ripped off from somebody else.
Spare us, Whovian Twitter. Spare us.
Yeah.
I'll hear about it.
Okay. So they're like, okay, look, you know, who are you? She's like, it's a complicated story. And I do dislike when shows are like, okay, you've set up a mystery. I, of course, as the viewer, want the answer. Who is this? How does she know Chakotay? And they keep... They push it off for a scene or two, and I'm like, I hate being made to wait. It doesn't make me want to know more. It just makes me annoyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I get why the character would wait till she was alone with Chakotay to be like, hey, here's the deal.
Yeah.
But anyway.
y'all notice that Janeway's hair is different in this episode, too?
It's a bob.
It's shorter.
It's shorter, and it's kind of pushed to the side, like there's more of it on one side than the other. Just for our log, that's apropos of nothing, but we do have our dry erase board in here where we're charting her hair. So,
well, I think it's the same as it was, in the last episode.
It looks a little different to me.
It looked different to me, too.
I think it's styled a little differently. It's not quite as tight on her head.
Yeah.
As it was in
a little looser on one
Omega.
Side.
Yeah. She got a blowout right before.
Anyway, final thoughts.
The hair looking nice.
The aliens begging to give me asylum. They're coming to take me. I don't want to go back. And Janeway's like, okay, well, we have a lot of questions, but we won't turn you over without knowing the whole story. So faint assistance.
Right.
Stay. And then she's like, hey, Chakotay, stay with her. She seems to trust you. He says, okay. He sits down. He's like, you're going to need some bed rest. And then they sit down, and then there's an awkward moment where the doctor's like, well, I have several days of inoculation records to catalog. I'll go do that then. And she's like, is he gone? Then we're alone. He's like, in a manner of speaking, she's like, look, we've met before. He's like, I'm sure I would remember, which is smooth line from Chakotay. Yeah,
you dog. He already is kind of leaned over, he's got the elbow propped on one knee, okay, mm-hmm. New lady on the ship.
And normally I would be annoyed by this, where they just info dump everything all at once about how she works and the whole premise. But honestly, because the focus of this episode is obviously on the romance, I appreciated them here's how it works. Here's the setup. And admittedly, I kept waiting for she's lying.
Twist.
It's a whole twisty
thing.
She's
the tracer, and there's someone else on the ship that she's hunting. Yeah.
No.
Nope.
Which I'm glad they didn't do it.
It's a straight
for once. For once, I'm glad that they played it straight up.
Unless it was to reveal that she was Seska all along. That I would have accepted.
She definitely was.
Okay, so the memories of my people can't be held in the minds of other races. You'll remember us for a few hours, then the memories will automatically fade away. We're generally completely forgotten by the next day. And of course, Chakotay's like, how's it work? Is it technology? It's telepathy? He's like, it's a factor of our biology, but we also have these other devices that enhance it. So that's why we can't be scanned. We can't be beamed. We're impervious to those sorts of devices. It's having a covert existence. You build technology to enhance it. Sure. It is very much here's how it works. Stop thinking about it, audience.
Right.
We're done.
Yeah.
Okay. I was here about a month ago. I spent several weeks here. You and I worked closely together. He's like, well, then why did you come back? Why did you ask for asylum? She's like, look, I have to tell you the whole story before it will make sense. But I came back because I fell in love with you. And that's sort of the premise, the hook of the whole rest of the episodes. Then we go to, it's Chakotay reporting to Janeway, where he's basically giving us more info dump. She comes from Remura. It's a closed society. She's a tracer, a bounty hunter. And I want to say that's a pretty cool name for a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
Tracer would be in all our minds from Overwatch.
Yeah.
But I was like, cool. That's a good, because a lot of times when you write stuff, you want a name that's not the same name everyone uses.
Right.
And you can easily jump to a really dumb synonym. Tracer is a good one for bounty hunter.
Weren't the synth hunters the elite synths that hunt other synths in Fallout 4 called tracers?
I think so. Yeah.
The Fallout franchise makes it a point to borrow liberally from a lot of different properties. Sure. So I wonder if that's how that made it in there.
And they're saying, okay, she was here long enough. There must be a way to verify her story. And they're like, wait. She is a cloak ship. She could have been following us for days and learned just enough about us to convince us she was here before. But then Janeway's like, why would they bother? What's the point? Because if all you wanted to do was get on the ship, we'll let anybody on the fucking ship. You would have known that. You didn't need
just, to. Just seem kind of nice. You can come on the ship.
Hey, look, cool. Janeway, I've had my heart broken before. I don't want to jump right in.
She claims that a computer virus was planted to delete all records of her being there. There's got to be evidence of tampering. Let's look at her navigational logs and see if they match up. Great. And then everyone leaves for Chakotay, and she's like, you seem very suspicious of her. And she's like, well, I just don't know. And she's like, well, we'll get all the information. And then I'd really appreciate your thoughts on that. I want your buy-in on whether she stays or goes. And then he leaves, and then there's just a long, protracted Janeway look of her just like, what is she? Like, normally it's so clear with Kate Mulgrew that we've rhapsodized about her ability to transmit thought and emotion with her face alone. This, I was like, I don't know, what are we supposed to get out of that? Is she jealous? Is she...
I don't think...
Worried he's going to immediately fall in love with the first woman he could possibly fall in love with? Valid.
Yeah, that's valid based off... it's just an extension of his compulsion to pack bond, right? Yeah, it is. It's just sort of... I don't know how to read it other than her being like, man, this is weird. And then cut to the next scene.
Yeah.
Right. You know? I don't get jealousy out of it. I don't think they're trying to.
Well, I didn't get jealousy out of it either, but it was just so nebulous. I was like, what are you trying to indicate? And I just kind of, here are the possible things could have indicated.
Fill in the gaps, yeah.
I don't know which was the right one. So they're talking, they downloaded her navigational logs. We traveled together for at least 2 weeks. And she's like, oh, yeah, you guys are great with your unyielding logic. I missed you guys, kind of thing. And then I was like, this makes me feel like this is a lie. This is a setup, the way she said that. And then she talks about, he's like, okay, well, let's go get you some food. He's like, oh, I'm quite fond of Neelix's food. And I'm like, okay.
Now you know she's full of shit. Nobody likes Neelix's food. Shoot her.
And when you put in my mind that maybe this is a setup, I was like, okay, those are everything she said is things she would know from a passive scan of Voyager for a few days.
Yeah,
sure. Overhear a few conversations, Seven and Tuvok are logical. You know, everyone makes fun of Neelix's cooking. Like, this is not hard yet. Then they leave, and Seven's like, Commander Chakotay's face became flushed. What could that mean? I'm like, guys, two, three episodes ago, you had her rattle off about eyes dilating, she knew exactly what it meant. You gotta pick how she works.
Literally, her second episode where she walked up on Kim and was like, "Oh, I've detected an increase in your heart rate and your capillary
sexual
fill
attraction,
has increased by 15%, so you were sexually aroused.
Let's do it."
She was like a walking medical tricorder. Yeah. Now she's like, "Why his face get red? I don't get it.
Why he blushy blue?" It's just like, guys, she can work any way you want,
but you have to pick a horse.
You gotta pick
a horse. She's so good. Jerry Ryan.
Jerry Ryan can deliver whatever you decide.
She will do whatever you want. She'll give it to you. She will make it work. Seven of Nine is such a great core concept for a character. One of the best in Star Trek canon, as far as I'm concerned. But the writers just have to pick a horse and ride it.
Yeah. Or stop getting lazy because you want a cheap joke. It's a cheap joke.
Yeah.
It's a season one Data joke.
Right.
And I think that's kind of my core of my growing discontent with the depiction of Seven is these are cheap. These are season one Data jokes. You got to be better than this or I'm losing interest. Okay, so they give Tuvok a good line of I don't engage in speculation. It's a dangerous pastime. Okay, so then they're in
that's how Instant Big Spaghetti died.
Oh, Big Spaghetti. Pour one out
for Instant Big Spaghetti.
Have they said her name so far? It started to bug me later and later we get in the episode. I was like, is this a choice because they're going to forget her anyway? They're not going to give the character a name?
They don't say her name until Janeway calls her and...
Yeah, it's way later and it started to bug me. Yeah. Okay, so Neelix is like, oh, our guests will enjoy this, Commander. And he rattles off all the stuff, the almond paste. And she's like, well, that's very diplomatic. He's like, whoa. He's like, well, you hate carrots, fried food upsets your stomach, and you refuse to eat pudding because it's slimy.
What fucking pudding is he eating? Who has ever had slimy pudding?
I could see someone
who
doesn't like pudding describing it as slimy.
If you were looking for a negative adjective for pudding, isn't that where you would go?
No.
What would you call it then? Let's say if I'm like Jonathan, insult pudding right now.
Yep. And...
You call it slimy, right?
It's not slimy, though.
It's so pudding-ish.
It's just milk.
It's pud style.
I love pudding.
It's not that solid.
Well, you can't get your brain into another person's brain who doesn't like pudding.
I can put my brain wherever I want.
I can astrally project however I wish.
I can do whatever I want.
I like the line because it's distinct. It's a very distinct line. And I admittedly, I really like the actress, and so I'm kind of already on this character's team a little bit anyway. Also, she might be like a spy or lying in some way, so I'm also interested from that angle.
I think you're filling in a lot of gaps.
I am. That's not illegal.
Things you like aren't actually occurring in this episode.
Like what?
Passion? Romance?
She's not a spy.
You know for a fact how much I like Fruits Basket. So
This is right up
my alley, buddy.
Why don't you bring up Fruits Basket?
Do not get that reference at all. That's I'm going to let it sail.
Well, think about it maybe for our next project, The People versus Fruits Basket.
We're doing
Gundam Wing next.
Anyway, so they start talking about Chakotay keeps asking her, like, okay, how did you get here? Very like straightforward questions. Like, well, don't you want to know how we fell in love? He's like, what? We'll get to that.
No, he isn't really awkward. He's like, no, I just want the facts.
No, I just want the facts, man.
Yeah, he's not like that at all.
He's very Joe Friday.
Yeah. He's very like, nope, just the facts.
Then I do love the bit when he's like, well, how did you get on the ship? She's like, well, that part was easy.
Which
so dismissive of which, Voyager's
true
security.
True, by the way. Yeah, moment of continuity there. And I stole a shuttle too while I was at it, because that's also super easy.
And I blew another one up.
Yeah. And she's like, I was on the ship for 2 days before my cloak thing malfunctioned. Then we get a flashback, and like, then I met you creeping around the cargo bay. They basically pull guns on each other, have a little standoff moment. He's like, there's a stowaway. Gotta let me go get him. And he's like, look, you're outnumbered. Give me your gun and I'll listen to you. And she hands off the gun. And then we jump back to the mess hall. She's like, I felt an attraction right away, but I couldn't get distracted. Did you feel it too? I wondered. You took me to Janeway. And then we started looking for the bounty hunter. And she's like, well, you know. Then we started falling in love. He's like, you keep trying to talk about your feelings, and it bothers me. She's like, does it make you uncomfortable? He's like, I don't want to play this game.
That is what bothers means. Yes. Yes. I am uncomfortable. Yes.
And then he's like, look, you're telling about this stuff, but I want to believe you, but I don't know if I can. But even if you are telling the truth, for me, it doesn't exist. And I was like, smooth, Chakotay.
Yeah.
She's like, she gets upset. She's like, I see. And she walks over to the mirror, to the window. And it's like, look, I'm sorry. I just want to make it clear how I feel. And then she's like, well, okay. Can I have your pudding? And it's fucking cute. It's a cute moment.
And maybe a little bit dirty.
And a little dirty.
A little dirty. Can I have your pudding?
Then you're forgiven. Look, she has a great voice. And it's been in my ear for most of my formative years. So when I hear it say, can I have your pudding? I'm like, yes, you can.
I like her too.
That's just Princess Irulan asking you.
Desert planet.
I like her too. I have no problem with her.
But yeah, it's cute. I like it. It's also something we rarely see in really any show, but definitely genre show. It's adult romance. Romance between adults. I will say this feels more
this isn't romance.
This feels more sexy than Paris and B'Elanna ever managed.
Actually, yeah, I think you're right. And I don't know if I'm saying that because of like the age I'm at now versus the age I would have been when I first watched this.
Right. Maybe, but that's it. We're because we're the age they were.
But these are two handsome, you know, attractive people in their 30s.
Late 30s, early 40s.
Early 40s, obviously, and depicted very much within that age range. And like you said, they're having a mature courtship here. Mm-hmm. Whether Chakotay realizes it yet or not, that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And it's unusual to, as far as most television, frankly, even now, as far as most episodic television is concerned, romantic entanglements end on your 30th birthday.
You're done.
Only people in their 20s get to have hot relationships.
But then Killing Eve came out, and we were like, thank God.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I need to. It's been on my list for a while.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you need to watch Killing Eve. And Fruits Basket. Okay. She's like, well, then you're forgiven. And then there's like, they get attacked again, and she falls into his arms. I was like, swoon. She's like, the tracers, they found me. So they're being attacked by cloaked vessels. The weapons are going right through the fields because they're like It's actually a neat idea. They're proton bursts, so it's like being they say later it's like being shot by 1,000 needles. It just goes right between the various particles of the shield.
Well, it's that it's a focused shot. It's like a pinpoint.
That's but they do say 1,000 needles. That it's like so which is 1,000 it, Jonathan? Needles at something.
Is when it 1,000 needles a thousand or is it one needle?
They say it's like flinging 1,000 needles at something, and but they all just slide in between.
But that's the point, is that it's hitting a small part of the shield. That's why it goes through it.
In 1,000 different places.
Sure. But no. No. No.
Why did they use the 1,000 needles metaphor?
I don't know, because they played Final Fantasy. I don't care.
Cactuar. Okay. So Janeway turns to her, who don't know her name yet, technically. Do you still want to stay with
Patricia.
Us? Get us out of here. She's like, yes, like get us out of here. I can modify your sensors to sense the ships temporarily. They hail over, like, give her, like, and then she pulls Chakotay over, like, look, are we going to give her up or are we going to fire back? And he's like, fire, like the fire in my loins.
No, he doesn't say it like that.
He does. He really
there is
does.
No passion in him up to this
and
point.
I think.
There's
I didn't
really
go back
not.
And watch it, but
there's
I,
not.
I think I saw the tip of his tongue drag there's its way not. Across the bottom.
Jonathan,
of his
it's
top
called
lip.
Yearning.
That is not
slow
here yet.
Burn,
Jonathan. He's the Byronic hero. Okay, we've already established this.
Every action he takes is suffused with dark passion.
Just shut the fuck up and keep talking. God,
suffused.
Shut up. Shut up.
Is this the Keep season's moving. Rise?
It very well will be. I will walk out.
Okay. That's my goal by the end of this episode, to force Jonathan to storm out. Okay. So they fire back. They hit their weapon systems. They take them out. And as soon as their cloaks are dispersed, they fucking bug out. They flee. She's like, well done. Well done. Stand down. Red alert. It seems we've granted you asylum. She's like, I prefer to remain on board. Consider that carefully. I won't change my mind. But the tracers won't give up that easily. It's nothing we haven't faced before. I made a temporary modification, but if you let me access astrometrics labs, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait, is this what this is all about? So she can get access to the astrometrics lab, and Chakotay has to give the command codes to get it. I'm like, aha, I get it.
I caught you.
But no, that's not what happens.
Not. Nope, she's
just a red herring. So they're going to go do the thing. Like, we got to climb up to deck 10. He's like, something wrong. She's like, I can't relax until we get far enough away. This is when they have a flashback here. Is this a flashback? I'm sorry.
Probably.
Anyway, they have a chat. A little bit. They don't have a flashback here.
There's not. No. There's not. There's another one coming up, but not here.
They have a quick chat about that he's such a kind person, and that's what made me turn around and come back was his kindness and how great he was. And wouldn't you be interested to hear about our last night together? And I was like,
flirtatious. This scene is charged, Jonathan. Charged.
Turgid with emotion.
They could restart the warp core with this shit. You can't shake your head. We're doing radio. People don't see it.
He's so angry. I've done a lot of annoying things to Jonathan, and he's rarely this angry. Who are you texting? Are you texting your mom? My podcast friends are being mean
to me. You know what would make this extra hot? If they were on an elevator going up through the atmosphere into space.
Alexia, protect me.
Speaking of Neelix.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, speaking of Neelix.
They go to the mess hall.
Chakotay goes to the mess hall late at night. And Neelix is there puttering around. He's like, oh, craving a late night snack? He's like, no, I need something to make me sleep. He's like, well, most humans say a glass of warm milk, but maybe some tea, some exotic blends.
No thanks. Just melted butter for
just
me.
Melted butter, please.
Just a mug of butter.
Oh, it's coming. Don't worry. He's like, well, are you having problems? And Chakotay gives him kind of a glare. He's like, I wasn't trying to pry, but if you want to talk about it. He's like, well, I'm not sure how to answer you. Like, he's like, well, the lady is happy to be here. Like, I'm sure she is. And then Neelix's like, look, it's best for me to be straightforward. It's obvious to me how she feels about you. Is that the source of your consternation? And he's like, it's just hard to believe. It doesn't seem like me to just fall in love with a really hot lady.
It's exactly like him. God. It
doesn't seem like me. Out of the blue?
In the middle of space where there are very few single women to choose from.
You mean like within a day or two fall in love with someone? No, I would never do that.
That's except, extremely Chakotay.
Except for all
it's
the time
very on brand.
Does
he's like, look, and Neil's like, you don't trust her? And he's like, not really. And then I was like, oh, okay. He's about to give the foundation of every relationship is trust. May I suggest it's yourself that you don't trust. It's your own feelings that you're afraid of. Sweet dreams. And I'm like, Neelix dropping those truth
bombs. I like
bombs.
Neelix in this Sam the bartender role.
Yeah, in this actually. Episode where, as the confidant of everyone. Please.
He's kind of Guinan. He's sort of Guinan in this episode, actually.
Through the time warp, please hear us. This is an excellent use of Neelix.
Awesome.
Continue it.
And like Guinan, let him break out once every couple of seasons and have an episode centered on him. But the rest of the time, he's just there to talk the other characters through their shit.
Next scene. Interior. Night. Chakotay's quarters. A mug. Brimful with melted butter. That he tosses back. And then she comes.
Chug.
She comes to his quarters. I couldn't sleep. I need to talk to you. And that's when I was like, okay, hold on. You've put in my mind that this could be a setup. And this is like beat for beat a fan fiction plot. Like, or a romance plot of like, hey, we have this connection. I had to come to your room. I have to be alone with you. Like all this stuff. I'm like, so I kept waiting for, this is the one thing that did kind of wrong foot me. Like I really expected there to be that final twist, which there is a final twist, but it's not what I expected.
What I noticed similarly to that in this scene is that the music in the background is very much don't do it, Chakotay, instead of do it, Chakotay. The music is sort of like, ooh, trepidation. So it really, I thought the same thing for slightly different reasons, that it's different things I was picking up on, but it felt like, oh God, he's going to do it. And then he's going to wake up in the morning with a dagger in his chest or whatever, you know, they find him unconscious, but nope. then they don't.
Sometimes women are into Chakotay.
Without an ulterior motive. He's
it
a good-looking guy.
Happens.
He's brooding. He's passionate.
Once. One time.
So many times.
No, literally just this time.
Seska, the Borg lady.
Seska had a motive. Had a motive.
No. Her love for him is what drove Seska insane.
Okay.
So anyway, she's come to his room. I was wondering if you still have doubts about me. He's like, well, your story seems to have been verified. Well, what about us? And she's like, I'm not one to hold back. I came here because of you, because I knew you would forget, but I'm sure we could regain the feelings we had before. They were there and they were real, but now I'm not so sure. Maybe it'd be better for everyone if I go back to Remura. If you feel nothing for me, just tell me. And I'll leave. She's all in. Pushes all the chips across the table. And of course, Chakotay folds. Don't go. It's about the yearning. Cut to later that same evening where she's giggling. She's like, this is called ice cream. I could eat this every day. That's got to be like every human's power move. Because it seems like it's come up multiple times. Like, hey, alien lady, this is called ice cream.
You might have cloaking tech and this thing that makes people forget you as a defense mechanism, but we have frozen cream. We have
with
churned milk.
Sugar.
With some sugar in it.
Yep. They start talking about Voyager, how it's a powerful ship, and that they've encountered, he's like, well, we've encountered ships that are faster, more powerful, but Voyager has always managed to be a match for the best of them. And that's, I like that verb.
Mm-hmm.
Managed. Voyager the ship is very much like Voyager the show. We've managed to win
against all odds. We continue to chug along.
We survive.
And she warns him, like, the Remuran vessels, they're fast enough to stay with the ship. Like, we'll keep you safe. She's like, look, a tracer never goes home empty-handed. When I was here catching the other guy, I was tracking that man for almost a year. Then she puts her hand on his shoulder. And he's like, so tell me about our last night together. And then she walks him through, like, let me show you. And I'm like, yikes.
Yeah. Tugging the old collar there.
I'll be real. This is hot. Like, this is a sexually charged between two adults, like older adults, and like her walking him through the motions and stepping him through. I'm like, that's hot.
And the power balances, the power dynamics completely balanced. Yes. You know, there's nothing.
Well, he doesn't remember their past relationship, but yeah. Well,
but he's aware of that. He's aware of their past relationship and what the limitations are there in terms of his ability to remember her, and he's going along with it anyway. He's into it, so.
Yeah. And then they have a brief, like, stop in the middle where they have a flashback to how they used a magneton sweep to trick the bounty hunter, and they have a flashback where he's like, all right, well, you're leaving the ship, right? She's like, yep, sure am leaving the ship. And then they do the magneton wave, and they catch him, and then we hear his name, Reskit. Hello, Reskit. Then they say, okay, we put him in the brig. This is when they establish the neurolytic emitter, the flashy thing from Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
It wipes their memories of the outside world. But this is when they start onto the next part of, like, so I knew that you would forget me and we'd become much more of friends. And I knew that, like I said, you would forget me in a day or two. So I went ahead and took the initiative. I moved closer to you. Thank you profusely. Could have done without you. Touched you. Told you I cared for you. And then I wanted something to remember you by. And then I did this. And they smooch. A+. That's when I knew you felt the same way. Because, you know, Chakotay's really hard to read when he likes you.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to go. And he's like, well, now you don't. Now you don't have to go. And I'm like, thumbs up.
Pretty hot stuff, huh, Jonathan?
Pretty hot stuff.
Pretty cardinal, smoking even. Hot stuff.
No. Fleurs right de mal.
No.
Would it help if I read some Byronic poetry to you?
Maybe some Bionic poetry.
Yeah. That would be fun to take some Byron poems and change them all to be about Bionic people.
Yeah.
Okay, so Chakotay and Tuvok are walking down the hall. He says, like, hey, the captain wants her to serve a function. What skills does she have? Well, she's trained as a security operative. She's basically a ninja assassin. And he's like, Mr. Neelix could use an assistant in the mess hall. And Chakotay's like, that was a joke. You just told a joke. And she's like, if you choose to interpret my mark as humorous, that's totally up to you. It is perfectly logical. And I'm like, great. Hilarious.
Yeah, I actually like this part.
I'll assign her to a security team, let her observe for a week. And also, we've been giving some thought to the fact that the Remuran ships could be in pursuit, and they have proton weapons, so have her go work with Seven and Ensign Kim to report to Astrometrics. And that little bit at the end, and then the next part where she's working with them, and Harry's like, oh, we'll go do, like, giving her advice and all this kind of stuff. I was like, I feel like they did a better job integrating her in this one episode than Seven the whole season. Like, people are more willing to, oh, well, admittedly, she's not a Borg, which probably helps.
Probably.
But, anywho.
Was there ever any talk of them being like, hey, can you hook us up with some of that cloaking technology, too? I mean, that would be helpful for them, given their predicament.
Has there ever been an explanation for why the Federation doesn't use cloaking?
It's a treaty with the Romulans.
It's why they don't use their cloaking?
It's why the part of the treaty with the Romulans is that the Federation would not pursue or attempt to develop their own cloaking technology.
Okay.
It's kind of a deterrence type thing that basically that they had to agree to. But in this case, I feel like the situation, well, like the, you know, when the Defiant got it, because of the Dominion War, they made a deal with the Romulans saying, hey, can we use... They're like, yeah, you can have it, but you have to have this Romulan officer on the ship at all times. Yep. And the Romulan officer conveniently got killed, but they kept the cloaking device and continued to use it. So, that's why. But I feel like who's going to tattle on them? You know, who's going to tell the Romulans while they're out here in the Delta?
If they ever make it out here, I think it would be okay.
If they ever make it to the border of the Alpha Quadrant, just quietly jettison
that Joker out the back. No, cloaking tech. Well, no, that'd be against the treaty.
Okay, so they're in the Astrometrics lab. They're talking about the proton beam. We already talked. We don't have to rehash all that. And she's like, well, no defense has ever stopped these weapons. Well, we could be the first. And then he's like, hey, I heard Chakotay recommended you for security. Make sure you volunteer for Beta Squad. You'll learn a lot from them. They're the best. And then once again, we have this Seven, like, she flushed when she saw Chakotay or said his name or whatever. And he's like, well, what are you saying? They're engaged in a courtship ritual, a precursor to the act of procreation. And Kim's like, some people need those rituals. Explain.
Copulate.
Before they become intimate, they want to become more comfortable. She's like, the end result is the same, is it not? What is accomplished by all the talk? He's like, well, if you don't get it, I can't explain it to you. Obviously. And I was like, this is painful. Like, because yes, clearly they're talking about their relationship, but they don't have one.
They don't have one. And they're never going to have one.
Stop it, Voyager writers. Stop it. They're not going to stop it, are they?
No comment.
Stop it.
It's your favorite thing.
Okay, so now we see her walking around looking sketchy. And then I was like, oh, here's where we find out what her true plan really was. To break a vase? But anyway, it turns out that's her. She's figuring out there must be a tracer on board, cloaked. And Chakotay's like, I'm not going to let anything happen to you. We can use the same magneton sweep. And then he does. And then before they do the magneton sweep.
They didn't do the magneton.
He just shows. He's like, oh, you caught me. I gotcha. Kurnith.
This whole scene is weird.
Don't do this. You know better than to ask that. Kellum. We finally learned her name.
Kellen.
And he zaps her, with no time to process. He zaps her.
Well, that's just it. Like, there is time. But, like, Chakotay is, like, slowly backing away.
He points the phaser at him. He's, no, stop. And then he puts the phaser down. And I put a note about that
like,
Chakotay's never hesitated to shoot someone before.
He's that, killed people. That or, like, if she's really in danger and he knows about this mind-wiping thing, like, he would have just rushed the guy, you know? I feel like the fact that he, like, slowly inches back and then, like, takes his fucking time to raise his
face. The staging of the scene is weird.
It's very odd.
It's bad. But end result, she gets her mind zapparooed.
Yes.
And now we begin the most painfully ironic of situations, where before he didn't remember her.
Yes.
Now she won't remember him.
Yes. You see,
that's what
they call the episode unforgettable. But the fact of the matter is, they are forgettable. You see, Jonathan?
Right. Much like this entire episode.
You see how they establish a concept, and then they subverted our expectations.
Flipped it.
They flipped it.
Put it on its ear.
They flooped it.
It's so fucking clever. Oh my God.
I think so.
This scene where they're in the sick bay and like she's clasping his hand, he's leaning over and he's.
But I think that's my problem with the episode is like I think the idea is fine. It's in the love story, whatever. It's interesting. I just don't think they go far enough with the emotion of it.
No, it would have been a better as a two-parter.
Like
a five-parter.
A five-part miniseries.
I'd watch that.
Chakotay love. Initially when she's trying to like tell him that, we were in love and all this, I feel like he should have been more vocal and more like, no, this is not a thing, to the point where like it gets to the point where he's like, he's just denying it because he's scared. That sort of, like there's an emotion there, but it never gets to that point, really.
I hear what you're saying.
And then when she's on the bed, losing her memories, like there's no, like she's saying these things, but there's no real desperation there. It should be like, please, try to reach me, blah, like it's just. I feel like it's poorly directed. Is my main beef. I think the actors are fine, But
yeah, I think that's what makes it less of a problem for me, is that she's super hot.
You gotta let
and
that go.
Does very hot things. Makes it pretty easy to form an emotional attachment very quickly.
You had an emotional attachment before you saw the episode. Once you
not me, Chakotay.
Well, I'm just
Chakotay's
saying.
Never seen Dune, or has he?
No, I'm just saying universe. In your judgment of the episode.
No.
Like
that's fair.
For what? I was complaining in the last episode how they've been very inconsistent on most of the major characters, how they act week to week. This is the time where I was like, this feels like consistent with how we've seen Chakotay in other relationships, how he's treated other relationships. And after his last few relationships went so fucking bad, when this really hot woman shows up and is like, hey, I'm in love with you, and you don't remember, but like this is a thing, it can happen right now. Him being initially forcing himself to be nervous and hold back, and then giving in eventually.
I just don't get works for me. I don't get the forcing part. Like, I don't think they go far enough with it. I don't.
So I think everybody on this ship is so desperately lonely and desperately bored at this point.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there's a few people that have coupled up that we know of, you know, I mean, like Tom and B'Elanna, and I guess that's it. I said a few, but I guess that's it, right? I think that I can believe that his impulse was to be like, okay, I buy it. I love you. But then his Starfleet brain takes over and says, no. Like, ride the brakes. And that's what all that initial resistance is from, is he can already feel himself being pulled into this, being swept into this, either because some part of him remembers their previous relationship or just because he's so lonely that he wants that. He wants that connection. And that initial resistance creates a tension that once it's released – feels really good, like, to the viewer's standpoint. Like, once he says, okay, fine. And it isn't really until right before
he's clearly into her the moment he meets her.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question.
And she into him. She says as much when in the flashback.
Maybe I just have empathy for a relationship built around amnesia.
That's probably it.
As I forget everything.
All right, she's on the med bed.
The med bed is where she... So the doctor's like, there's nothing you can do. Your recent memories have already begun to fade. There's got to be a reverse the effect. And she's like, look, if I forget you, you have to do what I did. Tell me all about us. Help me to remember. And he's like, I will, but I can do more than that. And then he goes down to the brig to where Kerneth waits. I just like that name. I like, okay, look, you're going to tell me how we reverse your mind wipey thing. And he's like, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how it works.
This guy, because he...
I love him. Yeah.
Because the actor is kind of diminutive in stature and is wearing this little, like, green frock, his pointy ears, and he looks like an elf. And not like a Dungeons & Dragons elf, like a Keebler elf. Like, the whole aesthetic. So couple that with the fact that his person is like, I don't know. Yeah, I zapped her. I can't help her.
Even when if I knew, leave? I wouldn't tell you. Yeah.
It makes his very his dismissive sort of tone.
Yeah, and then I love when Chakotay, as is often the case, resorts to violence when his passion can no longer be constrained by Starfleet regulations. He tries to rough the guy up and...
doesn't work.
And he doesn't buy it. He's like, you have no right to do this. He's like, yeah, I do. Our laws are very specific. We have our own culture and laws, Starfleet officer.
Prime directive, which is why...
what the hell is Starfleet anyway?
Which is why he didn't have a problem turning over that other dude that was on the ship. Interesting.
That dude wasn't hot.
This one's different because I love her. I think I did.
Yes,
perhaps
you're
I
saying
did.
It as a joke, but that's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah.
His passion.
Yeah. That would have made it more interesting had he decided that he loved her again.
But still, like,
but
get her
still
off the fucking
has
ship.
To, but still has to say, prime directive, I had to let the other guy go. I have to let you go, too.
Right. Which he does. He ultimately does.
He does, but they don't make that...
they don't make it clear.
They don't. They don't make that the problem that he has to face. Like, they make it so she forgets him and then has to go back. Like,
the prime directive is something that they pretty clearly they're just in lip service territory with the Prime Directive.
Oh,
I know.
It would
almost be more jarring to me if Chakotay came back and was like, no, I will deny myself love for the Prime Directive. This thing that we have violated willy-nilly,
yeah,
we have long since set aside as a matter of survival.
I just think it would have been a better episode had Chakotay been involved in the choice of wiping her mind and sending her back.
That's fair. I can see that as being very interesting to explore.
As is, there is no choice.
Sometimes life doesn't give us a choice.
Sometimes we're simply swept along in the current of our passion.
This isn't life. It's a TV show. Go to hell.
But it's meant to reflect life.
No.
As all art must.
Yes. For those people from that country who have that amnesia thing where
it might be a real thing. You wouldn't remember them. It could be something you've learned about many times.
I don't remember much about 2005 and before.
Let me be real. I've been to Luxembourg several times, but I can't seem to remember any
Luxembourg. Okay, and then Chakotay makes the point, like, did it ever occur to you that so many people wanting to leave, there is a problem with your society? He's like, it's just a few runaways. If there's so few, why not let them go? Well, that would say we don't care about them. What a terrible message to give them. I'm like, interesting. So, look, she's going to want to stay here with me because she loves me. He's like, why don't we wait and see if that's what happens? And I'm like, oh, dang. Start practicing what you want to tell your superiors when she stays because she loves me. Then he goes right back to her room because she got let out of sick bay. And he comes in and her being like, yes.
Can I help you?
Who are you? Do I know you?
Are you here to turn down my bed?
Yeah, it's painful.
Yeah.
I don't remember how I got here or really anything else in the past few weeks. Hope I wasn't throwing things in a fit of rage. She has the
broken champagne flute.
Yeah, I think that's what I like about that character the most, that understated sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I assume, it's like she knows that she broke the rules, tried to leave, and that's all she knows. I assume a tracer is here to take me back. He's like, okay, what I'm going to say will sound strange. And I'm like, oh, I already can see the way this is going. Because this is the, like, you have 10 minutes and one conversation to convince someone of the impossible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not on Chakotay's character sheet.
Nope.
It's just not. Like, I'd give Janeway a fair crack at that. Maybe Tom.
Tom can pull it off. It, yeah.
Tom can do it.
Maybe Neelix. I'd give Neelix even odds. Like, if I just keep, because they're the fast talkers. They're like, I'm just going to keep talking until you come out the other side doing what I want you to do.
Chakotay's charisma is an 11. He's like one ability point away from getting a little bit of a mod.
His charisma is 11. Wisdom, 17.
Wisdom is sky high. Yeah.
He has odd pluses to charisma in certain
situations. Yeah, they're super contextual.
Yeah.
Are you a dinosaur professor?
Or something like that.
Yeah. Plus five to all charisma rolls.
His favorite beasts.
Advantage on charisma rolls. He says, what I'm going to say will sound strange, but you asked me to do this before you lost your memories. You left, you decided to come back. Why would I come back here? That's dumb. This place sucks, and so do you. Well, you did it because you'd fallen in love with me, which already sounds like a bad lie. And she's like, well, forgive me. I mean, you're certainly attractive. Truth. But that's just very unlikely. He's like, it's what happened. She's like, wait, are you saying you fell in love with me as well? He's like, you made me promise to tell you all of this. He's like, well, this is a little unsettling, which to anyone's perspective, not having any memory, be like, that would be pretty unsettling. She's like, okay, well, what is it you want from me? He's like, I don't go back with the tracer. Stay here for a few days. Give me a chance to, like, help you remember, rekindle it, start afresh, any of this stuff. We can get to know each other again. And she's like, I honestly can't imagine what would be served by that. He's like, well, if you stayed, you might change your mind, which is, that's lame. Like, yeah. That line's not going to work, buddy.
No.
I'm sorry. And she's like, well, I wouldn't want to make that mistake again. And then Chakotay starts to leave, and she's like, I wish. And he's like, more than the moon? More than riches?
More than anything. More than life.
I wish we had met under different circumstances. Which is a horrible line to give and receive. So we see the Remuran ship uncloaking. Your ship is ready. Thank you, Commander. This week talks about the computer virus to eliminate any reference to them being there. Tomorrow afternoon, you'll have forgotten anything or everything. And she says, look, you're such a kind person. I won't forget that. I'm like, just twist the knife. Twist the knife.
She's really hollowing the poor guy out right now.
I wish you both. And he says, I wish you both the best. And then there's two things right at the end of this scene. The heartbreak with which Senor Octubre delivers the line, energize. Thumbs up. You did a good job this week. But then in the background, is that Nicoletti just judging him? Like, she's back there. Like, whoever the ensign back there is, she's clearly like, what the fuck is going on here?
Get this drama out of my transpooter room.
I don't need any of this.
I think that's Ayala.
No, Ayala's a man.
Is that a man?
No, that's a woman.
I don't remember.
Not like Ensign Big Spaghetti, non-binary Big prince.
Ensign Big Spaghetti would have been all about this drama.
Ensign Big Spaghetti. God damn it. Okay, Chakotay's personal log. It's probably best to forget about Kellen. I don't want to do that. I want to remember. And then they cut to him writing on motherfucking paper. And I was like, yes, love it. Love it. Tears.
Have we forgotten what fountain pens look like in the 24th century?
Apparently.
It looks like a knob from a drawer with like a little stylus fashion to it.
They send out the props department, like, make a space pen.
Give us a future pen.
Yeah, they thought too hard about it.
Pens are ridiculous looking.
Neelix comes over and is like, you're talking about his ancient writing implements. He's like, it's the only way I can have a permanent record. And Neelix says, I'm sorry things didn't work out for you. He's like, yeah, I'm trying to make sense of it. I fell in love with her twice. I thought she could do the same. We're the same people, the same place. Why didn't it happen again? And I keep thinking about our last conversation, something I could have said or done. And I was like, yeah, there probably was, buddy. Like, you
botched it.
You botched it. I mean,
kind of what Neelix tells him here.
He kind of tells him the nice version of
it. Yeah, the nicest way to put it is, well, I'm sure certain factors were different. And love, it's, you know,
you can't analyze love.
Yeah. It's the greatest mystery of all.
It's like baking, you know? You just put like an extra pinch of yeast is what you did, and it made the whole thing collapse.
A chance combination of elements, a mood, a glance, a remark. If we could define love, predict it, it would probably lose its power. I'll let you finish writing your sad diary. Good night, Neelix. You son of a bitch.
Neelix does kind of just drill the three in his face and then walk away. You know, like, he doesn't even watch the shot drop. He just turns around and walks the other end of the court.
Sad son of a bitch.
Well, Chakotay.
Back to my cooking.
Well, here we are. The end of this emotionally fraught episode of Voyager.
I'm drained.
Episode of our podcast.
I'm drained. Are you drained, Jonathan?
Drained.
I'm more drained from this. The episode itself is pretty predictable and boring. But
are those your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are. My final thoughts. No, it's predictable. It's not particularly well directed. I don't think. I think it's just bland. I think it's middle of the road. I'm not saying it's bad, because it's not. But it's fucking season four. It should be better than this. And I think, like, there's just no, like, the parts where there should be, like, where the character should be driven or desperate, like, they just weren't pumped up enough, in my opinion, to be a good episode. I think it's just, and I'm just tired of middle of the road episodes I'm tired of experiencing them and then having us call them good here.
Yeah, but any sample of something, once it's large enough, some things are going to have to be in the middle. Like, if they were all awesome, then you would reassess the parameters of the sample, and you would call some of them shitty and some of them in the middle.
Well, I would call this one shitty. I would say the bar should be a little higher than this, than just being middle of the road. Because, I mean, it's not, you know how it's going to end. There's nothing, you know.
I didn't know how it was going to end. I thought she was going to betray him and peel off her mask to be Seska.
But at any moment, regardless of when you are in this episode, you know that they're going to reset this. You know that they have an out. They're going to forget them. at some point.
But they built the out. They built the out into it this time.
I know, and that's.
I'll give them. I mean.
No, I mean, I understand. Like, for you, that's the cardinal sin of Voyager, that nothing sticks. They hit the reset button at the end of every episode. And just for me, I've kind of had to just, like, accept it. Like, it's not going away. It's not going to change.
Well, that's not even why I don't like the episode. I don't think it's particularly good enough.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, so I guess I can... I don't know if I would put this episode in that great gray middle that we often end up kind of trying to sort out. You know, we've talked in the past about how some of those episodes in the middle, some of them don't have enough to distinguish them and they're garbage. Some of them have some kind of little hook or something that we like that pulls over to the good side. To me, this episode, I don't love everything about it, but it feels pretty unique to me. I'm reluctant to put it there in that big mass of sort of meh episodes because it's hyper-focused on one relationship between two people. As we talked about, it's a very mature, non-problematic relationship, which is nice. It's refreshing. There's nothing about it we have to worry about. I kept thinking, like, okay, here's the hook. She's a bad guy. She's a tracer. She's a spy, a bandit, space bandit, whatever. And then she wasn't. And the fact that they just played that straight all the way through actually was surprising. Mm. There is some weird stuff in the direction. The episode just feels different in a tactile and tonal sense than a standard Voyager episode. Not all of that's good. Some of it's not great. But I'd say on the whole, I like the fact that it's different. I mean, I called it in my opening argument, it's a peculiar little sort of gem of an episode. I mean, maybe it's not the shiniest gem or the most valuable gem, but I think it's a nice little... a fun little outlier to the bulk of everything else in season four. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I like Virginia Madsen. Obviously we like Chakotay.
Also Patricia Madsen.
And Patricia Madsen for that matter.
Victoria.
Yeah. And
Victoria Madsen.
So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say, my God, this is perfect. This is a paragon of what Star Trek should be. But I think as a standalone, it's a nice little episode. I enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of you, as is common. I found that the things that I was annoyed by in the episode were things that I'm annoyed with Voyager as a whole and this season specifically. Like, they're kind of like legacy grievances in a lot of ways. And to me, like, I kind of agree with Josh that having depicted an adult romance in such a way that feels interesting and nuanced and a little hot is out of the ordinary for the genre television, especially. The only thing that I could think that would be easily comparable, but even though it's not just a one-off episode, it's the whole show, is Farscape, is the relationship between Crichton and Aaron Soon is very adult, very nuanced, all sorts of interesting stuff. But anyway, for a Star Trek episode, normally when someone has their girlfriend du jour or boyfriend du jour, like, it's much more half-assed. Like, it's always, like, secondary to this big space thing they have to worry about or whatever the problem is. So I kind of like that this is really kind of inverted that, where the romance is the main focus of the episode. All the other space things and the things they put in place to hit the reset button, as always, are secondary. And so, I liked it. I, for me, it put it above the gloppy middle pretty easily, just from the relationship between Chakotay and Kellen. But also, like, I'm a fucking sucker for a good romance story. For a story where romance is what it's about, man. What it's about, baby. Mwah. So yeah, but I like this fine. It's no Rise, but she walks in beauty like the night. The good citizens of the jury have reviewed the evidence. Gentlemen, your closing arguments. No.
Yeah.
Captain Spurlock.
Unforgettable is the perfect Voyager episode. Not because it is especially well made or even consistently entertaining, but because it can credibly be forgotten next week. Forgotten like a salamander baby, a holographic family, or a suicide attempt, but this time with a mechanism for that narrative discontinuity baked right into the plot. With the introduction of this character, Voyager has perfected its own formula, which will, of course, be completely forgotten in time for next week's episode.
Ultimately, the fate of this voyage is up to you good beings on the jury, but it is my august responsibility to make judgment based on the evidence and argument placed before the court today. After reviewing it all, I hereby decree that Case 422, Unforgettable, is good. These verdicts cannot be appealed. They are final and irrevocable within this quadrant, space-time continuum, and county. Court adjourned.
The People vs. Star Trek Voyager is recorded in front of no one. Space Judge Midnightian Later is played by Derek Adams. The prosecution, Karasuno High School's ace, John Q. Continuum Esquire, is played by Jonathan Sparks. The defense, Captain Matthias Zapp Spurlock, is played by Josh Darnell. All episodes of Star Trek Voyager are presumed good until proven garbage.
Shadow Public Radio presentation. For more excruciating action, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you seek podcast content.